Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to follow up from last week's podcast where we did a simulated pregame conference between umpires, just a little meeting. Today we're going to talk about what that postgame meeting might look like. As just an example, we've gone through the books. We've talked about what people should do in a line-by-line bullet point fashion, but we just want to role play a little bit here and examine what might happen in a conversation between two umpires who are working in this case scenario. Just so we kind of cover some things, we're going to be talking about, we just finished a doubleheader where David worked the first plate, I worked the second plate, and we did not have a meeting in between because we didn't have time. So this is going to be a meeting that kind of covers both games, just so we can cover both scenarios and umpires with different experience levels working both places, just so we can see a breadth of topics.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So we'll try to make it as real as possible. And we'll start right here as Pete and I are walking away from the field after our doubleheader. Hey, Pete, I'd like to talk with you a little bit, get some feedback from you. But let's wait until we get out to the cars here and get away from these fans. So let's head out to the car and then we'll talk.
Yep, absolutely. It's an exciting game today, huh?
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right. So here, you know, let's talk about game one when I was on the plate. Do you have anything for me? Anything that I could do to improve?
No, I mean, I thought it went great.
Well, yeah, I thought it went pretty good too. I know I have a couple of things for myself, but I was really hoping, you know, you get to see me do my thing from out there in the infield, and you're like every time, every pitch, you're looking at me, right? Because you're watching the ball cross the plate. There's got to be something that you think maybe I could do a little bit better, or something we could talk through.
Well, I mean, I don't want to like nitpick. I mean, maybe is that what you want?
Do. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, please do. Yeah, I want to get better.
Yeah, so I was thinking of one. It was like in the second inning. So it was early in the game. There's a runner on first. She was stealing on the pitch, and I know you called the pitch. It was a strike, and you came up and did your hammer, but you kind of went through that whole motion like it had just been kind of a routine pitch, and the throw came in, and it even kind of got away from the shortstop a little bit, not far. But I mean, if she had gone to third, that was your call down there. And it seemed like you were a little slow getting off that because you finished like with a long, you know, a normal hammer and a normal call there instead of maybe abbreviating the call and then getting into a spot. If that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So fantastic feedback. Thanks for pointing that out. I remember doing it. I did just kind of normal timing, right? And stood up, started my hammer. USA timing, right, for NFHS, and looked, and there she is approaching second base, and I actually caught myself going, oh shoot, I'm not nearly close enough to third. So yeah, that's fantastic feedback. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll definitely put that in my list of things to work on.
And then there was another one where there was a girl. It was a player on third, a runner on third base, and it was a fly ball, and I felt like maybe you could have gotten, when you're coming out to call the catch, maybe you could have gotten a little better lineup to be able to see not only the runner for the tag, but also the catch on the time and the catch being fulfilled.
Yeah, another great point. What I really needed to do was probably move up the line and maybe back away from the infield a little bit so that I could get a better view of that runner at third base in my peripheral vision while I was calling the catch. I remember I think I took like three or four steps into the diamond, like it was a nobody on type of catch. So yeah, good point.
And I mean, other than that, as far as the rest of that stuff goes, I felt like you did a pretty good job. It's most of the things were what I expected. I felt like we worked well together. Just, you know, not for nothing, I felt like your zone was pretty consistent. I can't see some of the in and out, but I could see the up and down. I could see the thing. So I felt like you had pretty good command of what was going with that. Good timing on the calls and stuff. So I feel like all that, I think you did the plate pretty well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate the feedback, Pete. So for you, didn't have too much. I noticed the one very shallow fly ball into right field with nobody on, so you're in the A. And I noticed that you went into foul territory. Why'd you do that? So it's outside of the infield, which is kind of like a standard button hook type thing.
Yeah.
But you went into foul territory.
Yeah, it was short, and like I wasn't sure if the right fielder was going to get it or if the first baseman was going to get it. And I took one step, and I wasn't sure, am I going to run into the first baseman? Am I going to be in the right fielder's way if they come in? Maybe if they don't catch it and they come up firing. I don't know. I kind of panicked in a little bit, and it was like I moved to the area where I could still see the play, where there to be a play, but I was not in anyone's way. So that was kind of a split-second decision to kind of put me there.
Yeah, I think it was a great decision. In that situation, nobody's going to run to second, real quick. Mm-hmm. So it's a shallow ball to right field. They're certainly not going to be a triple. And so I think the right idea is to get the heck out of the way. Try not to get hit in the ear hole. You know, if it's shallow enough that she's going to try to make a play at first base, you know, the right fielder, you don't want to get hit in the ear hole, right? So, no, I think it was a good place to be. I was just kind of curious as to what went through your mind for it. And also, I mean, I loved the hustle. You got yourself all the way over, foot in the paint, you know, on that triple. And, you know, took that batter runner all the way over to third base with your foot in the paint. So I thought that was fantastic. Maybe a little bit of inconsistency in getting down, coming set, I guess, when you're on the field.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just standing and, you know, we'll check balls and strikes. Like I called out, you know, 3 balls, 2 strikes, and there was your indicator. Mm-hmm. You looked at your indicator and then never actually went set, you know, hands on knees to watch what was what.
Yeah. Yeah. I struggled with that a little bit. Yeah.
That's probably just habit stuff.
It's bad. I guess it's bad that people notice too. So I'll definitely work on that one.
Cool. And then, as you know, my pet peeve is that silly indicator anyway. It's, you know, really, I say this to everyone, so this is not actually just Pete specific, but take that indicator and watch softball at home and just work the indicator balls and strikes and then just look at it to verify that you reset it to 0. You know, it's not every time you're in between batters, we don't want to stare at the indicator and go click, 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 you know, and then double look at it again. And, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, now learn to operate that indicator and don't use it as a crutch.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, great game, great hustle. I thought all of your timing calls were on point. You know, it was awesome that nobody even questioned those 2 bang bang plays that you had at first. You know, they were just, oh man, you know. So I thought the calling of the game was impeccable.
Oh, I had a question for you. You know, there was at the end. This is just a for my mental health question. You know, at the end of the game, there was a play at first. It wasn't necessarily close. You know, the final play. You know, I called her out. I couldn't tell. The first baseman stretched, and I wondered if there was going to be a pulled foot. And just if someone had appealed that, I mean, just for my edification, did you have a pulled foot there at home from home?
No.
No?
No, she was on it.
Oh, good.
Nope, she was on it.
Good.
Good. Great call. Yep. Great call. That's it. That's what I have for game one. So okay. Game two, you were on the plate. I thought your timing was fantastic. I love the consistency at which you stepped in behind the catcher. Got your heel toe, you know, got that good pelvic alignment. I thought the timing of going down into your calling position was very consistent with the pitchers. And it was funny because the two pitchers were so different. You were able to get your timing on, you know, the home team pitcher and have the timing be different on the visiting team pitcher and be consistent with both. So I thought that was fantastic. I thought maybe your zone might have been a little bit low. I think the batters were a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Several times, 3 or 4 times throughout the game, but they were consistently low. I think you're doing the appropriate thing of calling the knee, and they're not used to that. So a lot of umpires don't call low enough. And so I'm not saying that you weren't calling the right strikes. I was just saying that they thought they were low, and they might have been a little bit on the low side. So I would just say, if you have an opportunity to see some of those pitches from the side, I don't know if there's a recording of it or something, you know, take a look at them and they might be right. I think that second pitcher actually had a really good drop ball. So those sometimes get the fans yelling that we struck things that weren't strikes because, you know, that they see the drop ball and think that it was too low.
Yep. I mean, that's a good point. I try to concentrate on the front knee and the front edge of the plate and try to give the strikes, you know, by the book and be fair to the pitchers as much as possible. But I'm definitely open to it. And I mean, my mentors have told me a couple of times, you don't have a consistent zone until you're 4 or 5 years in, but I'm trying to speed that along as fast as possible. So I definitely welcome any comments. And, certainly I'd love to see if you end up seeing a recording, you see that, you know, that the Wizards, you know, posted something, maybe we could, maybe I could check it out and see and compare some of those to what
I was
doing.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for it. Yeah, for sure. Other than that, movement from behind the plate, the covering of third. So, you know, that runner at second or even runner at first only. And so I was over in the B and I got a runner at first over in the B, and there's a nice hit to right center field. That runner from first going to third,
mm-hmm.
and the play almost went there. right? Because the batter runner kind of made them stop. They stopped in between first and second, and second baseman after the ball had come in almost threw the ball to third, and I looked up and I went, uh-oh, no Pete. So we just got to be really careful to make sure that when we have the responsibility at third, that even if it's a holding zone type of thing, make your holding zone a lot closer to third base than home plate when it's possible that call is going to go to third.
Yeah, I messed that. You know what? I messed that up. I trailed the batter runner, and I shouldn't have as far. And then I got caught out of spot a little bit. You know, just I delayed too long before moving to there and realizing that could be and was likely a thing. As you said, the throw almost went there, so it was much more likely, I think, than I gave it credit for. So I definitely accept that. I have to do a little better there.
Yeah, Pete, and I do that all the time too. That runner at first, and the book says trail the batter runner one third of the way up the line. And then when you go to clinics, you know, it's like, well, trailer up one third, but then cut across the diamond because you've got responsibilities at third base. I'm not really fast enough to trail her a third of the way and then get to third. You know, these little girls are too fast. If she's decided she's going third and they throw that ball over there, yeah, there's not very much trailing the batter runner on my thing. I've got to get my butt to third because I'm not fast enough.
Okay.
That's it. That's what I have. What do you have for me on the bases?
For me, I had a question, actually. So there was one. I was wondering if you didn't call it at any point, and I couldn't see it with enough certainty to call, but I was wondering if the pitcher might have been illegal. It looked like she was setting her foot actually in front of the pitcher's plate and before she would go with the ball. Like she rocked, and then I felt like she was resetting that foot a little forward. Was that not happening, or did you see that?
Yeah, I watched it really close, and she had her heel up against the front edge of the pitcher's plate.
Okay.
I wish the pitchers wouldn't do it. I wish they wouldn't move around like that. But yeah, I was watching for it, and she would pick her foot up a little bit and then kind of set it back down, and she's still touching the pitcher's plate, sliding it across the pitcher's plate because, you know, to actually lose contact with the pitcher's plate would be illegal and really close. You know, you'd have to get down on the ground, and, you know, I felt like it would be nitpicky to say that she's losing contact with the pitcher's plate, but she wasn't pushing off from anywhere not in contact with the pitcher's plate because her heel was up against the front edge of that plate.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Other than that, I was going to say, I feel like the rest of the game, I felt like you did really well out there. There's nothing I mean, I appreciated the one time I lost the count and I was able to settle. I felt like you and I had recommunicated and established the count, and I don't think too many people knew that I lost it. So I appreciate you having it and then, you know, keeping eyes on me to look for my signal. I really appreciate it.
That's actually a good point. I want to point that out too. You did something that was very helpful to me as well. When the girl stole second base, so she was at first, I was in the B, and she took off. And as soon as the pitcher let go of the ball, she took off, right? So she knew she was stealing. And so I didn't even see the pitch go across the plate, really. I was making sure I had my feet under me and that I wasn't going to truck the second baseman, you know, when I was trying to get over there to make that call. And so then when I repositioned over in the C, I had no idea what that pitch was, but you just kind of stepped out a little bit from behind the catcher and just gave me the little, you know, 1-1 count. You didn't do the full, you know, hey, one ball, one strike, you know, to the world. You just kind of told me, hey, 1-1, which let me know that was a ball. And got me caught up on the count. So thank you very much for doing that.
Yep, no problem. I usually appreciate that when I'm out there. So I try to return the favor when I can.
Fantastic. So Pete, great day today. Two great games. You know, no problems with fans, no problems with coaches, players. I think we did an excellent job. I think we put a good product on the field for the players today. And that's my goal. So thank you very much for being a part of it with me.
Yeah, definitely. And I hope to work with you again, actually.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Thanks.
Safe travels.
See you too. So there we go. That's just some examples, you know, some a little contrived, obviously, but some of this is feedback from actual games or things that we've done either ourselves or through partners and hope we put together a good example. The important thing here is don't be afraid to ask for or give feedback. Some people maybe don't really want it. And then, so that's up to you, I guess, in your personality of whether you kind of force it on them, we'll say, but if they're asking for feedback until told otherwise, I would take that in earnest. And I would give them maybe what you had. And if you preface some things like David there, where he said, you know, when I was on bases and he had a question about maybe what I was doing and those things, it was, you know, it was couched the right way. And it wasn't like he's like, you're a jerk. It's just like, you know, I'm kind of think that, or I'm trying to learn see what you were thinking, or maybe it's something I might want to do or not do. So those kind of things. David, you know, what do you got there?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's be open-minded for sure. I love the idea of getting the feedback. I've gotten some really good feedback from my partners in the past. Probably learned more stuff from post-game feedback than I've learned in clinics. And that's, you know, if you're a clinician and you've put on a clinic, I'm sorry. But, you know, most of the stuff that's covered in clinics is covered in the book. And, you know, you only get to see me for, you know, if there's 20 umpires at a clinic, you know, and you do one rep, you know, versus your partner's been watching you do an entire game, you know, so you get a lot of really good feedback if you're open to it. You can improve rapidly in the game if you have good partners giving you good feedback and you listen to it.
Yep, absolutely. That's one of the ways that I learned. One of the things I had two problems. Well, I had a million problems, but two big problems here that post-game feedback really helped with. And one was timing of calling of pitches. This is something that I personally have gotten better at, where it was just, I didn't let the ball sink into the mitt all the way and, you know, give it the appropriate beat before I call. I'd almost want to call it as the ball's entering the mitt, and that's a little too fast. And for people to give people confidence that you saw it all the way through. Same thing with the field. So timing in general, my timing. So on bases, where you go to make a play and you start to signal one thing and you say another or do whatever else because you didn't see the play, you know, play it back in your head, make the call, you know, et cetera. So that feedback I only got because it's easy in a clinic where there's no pressure, right? Someone's watching you. So maybe you're a little nervous because you got some stage fright, but honestly, you're doing something that has no stakes. When it's the bottom of the seventh and the team's down by a run and needs this, and you're running over there and doing that, the timing to make sure you get that right is important, calling the pitches or calling the bases. And you can only get that. And then you can only get that feedback where someone saw, what did you do in that moment? And that's kind of what I think what David was mentioning as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I got for this episode, Pete.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks again to our listener who suggested this, Joe. And yeah, I guess until next time.